This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey everybody, my name's Kate Delaney. Big story that broke at midnight and was being talked about before that all day long, that there would be an indictment that would be handed out, be the fourth one, for the president, the former president of the United States, Donald Trump, who's running for president and has the most momentum of any Republican. He has been indicted in Georgia in this election investigation. So the former president, 18 others accused of multiple crimes related to the effort to overturn the 2020 election. The 13 counts specifically that the president was charged with in Georgia include violating the state's Racketeering Act and soliciting a public officer to violate their oath. So the president has been reacting to the fact that he knew that this was going to happen on his own social media site and has talked about it when he has been out there talking to voters. But specifically, I'll go a little bit deeper on this. The historic indictment is, again, the fourth to implicate the former president. It follows a 2.5-year investigation by Fulton County District Attorney Bonnie T. Willis. It was launched after audio was leaked from a January 2021 phone call during which Trump urged the Georgia Secretary of State to question the validity of thousands of ballots, especially in the heavily Democratic Atlanta area, and said he wanted to find the votes to erase his 2020 loss in the state. Trump says that phone call was perfectly fine. It was something that he was questioning as far as election fraud, and he was the president and had the right to do that, by the way. Willis's investigation expanded to other alleged efforts by Trump or his supporters, including trying to stop the Electoral College process, harassing election workers, spreading false information about the voting process in Georgia, compromising election equipment. This is all part of this whole thing. For a long time, knowing what was happening in Georgia when asked about it, he called it a political witch hunt. Like I said, to Raffensperger and others as perfect. Ahead of the indictment, Trump's Georgia-based legal team filed legal challenges seeking to disqualify Willis and block the investigation. That didn't happen. Now, of the total 41 charges, is what it is, brought against 19 defendants. It's a 98-page indictment. I was frantically reading it as I was jumping on the air. Not all face the same counts, of course, but all have been charged with the violation of the Georgia Racketeering Influence and Corruption Organizations Act, RICO, as we know it. Willis says that they've got until Friday of next week, August 25th, to surrender or be arrested. Trump and the other defendants charged in the indictment refused to accept that Trump lost, and they knowingly and willfully joined a conspiracy to unlawfully change the outcome of the election in favor of Trump. That's what the indictment specifically says. Among the others that are charged, and they're all going to be tried together, Rudy Giuliani, the former New York mayor, who served as Trump's personal attorney after the election, Trump's former White House chief of staff, Mark Meadows, several Trump advisors, including attorneys John Eastman, Sidney Powell, and Kenneth Cheesebrough, also listed there. Then there were two Georgia-based lawyers, Ray Smith III, Robert Cheely, a campaign advisor, Mike Roman, who helped plan the electoral meeting, three prominent Georgia Republicans who served as electors, so they're on that list, too. Also, some other people who participated in efforts to reverse the defeat in Georgia is what the indictment says, including three people accused of harassing the Fulton County election worker, Ruby Freeman. So where this all goes, it's supposed to be fast-tracked, and it is another case that will be out there while the election looms. And, you know, for months, there have been smoke signals or regular signals or whatever you want to call them that Georgia's expansive anti-racketeering statutes, which allow prosecutors not only to charge in-state wrongdoing, but to use activities in other states to prove criminal intent in Georgia. So it's broader than federal law in terms of what a prosecutor can defend, define a criminal enterprise or conspiracy. That's the big thing here, the RICO thing, and how this plays out. Wow. You know, then you think about, I was thinking about this part of it today, the grand jury. You're looking at a body of 23 jurors, three alternates picked from a pool of residents from Atlanta and its suburbs. They have the subpoena power for documents, the ability to call witnesses, but they couldn't issue indictments, only recommendations in the case. The panel heard from Raffensperger, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp. They were on the other end of what happened, and now we know it. Now we know what's here and what directions does this take. The answer is we don't know at this point. We just know that it's been fast-tracked. People have to come in. That it's all being tried at once. RICO is a kind of a case when you've got these RICO charges that is like a complicated web, but very specific in how it's laid out. So this is the curious part of, I think this is the curious part of all of it. And the serious part of all of it, because you can't wiggle out of it if you're, meaning like all those people surrounding the former president, this is something that is something that you, if indicted on it, is really, really tough. It's not an easy wiggle. There's no wiggle room, in other words, none whatsoever. Hey, coming up, we have a version of We Can Count on this show, and we're going to talk more about the Maui wildfires. The death toll is supposed to grow, which is terrible because I wish it would be the opposite. But 99 people so far at this point have died in the fires in Maui, and of course mostly in that historic Lahaina area. The belief is it could double, meaning we could see close to 200. It's the worst fire in American history in 100 years. Think about that. In 100 years, the worst fire. So there are a lot of organizations that are helping, including the Red Cross, because so many of you asked me about that, that with thousands of people evacuated or displaced and almost close to 100, like I said, have been killed. 1-800-733-2767 or 1-800-RED-CROSS. Follow the prompts for Hawaii fires. Coming up, We Can Count.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. 877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their three-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
Everywhere, sad numbers like the Maui numbers that I've talked about, worst, deadliest U.S. fire in a century. Not a happy thing to celebrate. I wish those numbers were minuscule or zero. The mob of criminals that stole a bunch of merch at a Los Angeles mall, you know how much they're saying? It was like worth $300K. So get this, no license plates, all dressed in black, flying into the Westfield Topanga Shopping Center in Los Angeles. They entered 30 of them, a Nordstrom store at once. They sprayed something in the face of the security guard, grabbed merch from displays near the entrance, and then they were gone in a blink. That was it. I mean, head to toe, they were ransacking. You couldn't see anything. Nothing was visible with the people. They ransacked the store, carried the duffel bags, purses, other items from the broken glass on the floor. You can see it in the video. And, you know, like high-end handbags, they knew what they were getting. They had to case the place, clothing and other easily resellable items. That's what the key is here. So nobody's been identified. No arrests have been made. People are not feeling so safe when this happens. You're shopping, you look up, and whoa, look what's happening. The Los Angeles mayor said the incident is absolutely unacceptable. Those who committed these acts and acts like it in neighboring areas must be held accountable. So the LA Police Department has its work cut out for them to try to find the people and then to prevent the attacks on retailers from happening in the future, because it's happening all over the place. It happened in Glendale, a suburb of L.A. There again, $300,000 worth of property in another one of those flash mob burglaries, that's what they're calling them, a Yves Saint Laurent store. So they know what they're doing. It's large, it's coordinated, it's simultaneously rushing into the store, overwhelming the staff, taking it over, spraying them with bear spray or whatever else, grabbing as much merchandise as possible. Then they flee in these various cars that have nothing identifiable about them. I mean, you know, no license plate, any of that. So they know what they're doing. The key is to get the stuff that they can sell right away and get the high-end goods and then put it out there. Can you imagine? I can't imagine that you're somewhere near that store and you see that. What are you going to do? And they can't. You can't. These people are left with, what am I going to do? I can't do anything here. And then the timing of how could you have police right where they need to be at the right time? There's no way when you think of how many different stores and possibilities of where they could, you know, be. Two people died in a North Carolina plane crash that cut power to thousands. That was part of the key. Sad story, actually. It happened on Sunday morning at about 11:30 a.m. So because they hit the power lines and they went down in this lake area, Lake Hickory, which is about 53 miles northwest of Charlotte, that's what, you know, cutting the electricity to thousands of people because of where it hit. And people tried to rescue those on board, but they couldn't, you know, they didn't survive. They couldn't do it because there were jet skiers and others that were out there. It was kind of a busy time for people to be in that lake, but there was just nothing that they could, do to help. You know, zero, they were helpless, but tried to anyway. I mean, I guess, you know, that's part of that. That's part of the story is you see it, you scramble, you're trying to figure it out and see if there's anything that you can do. There are some sad things that have happened in around the country that have to do with numbers. And then there are some more uplifting numbers. I was really looking for those, like the four divers who went missing off the coast of North Carolina. They were rescued because there was massive panic over this. They went missing Sunday south of Cape Fear, and they were rescued by the Coast Guard and the Navy. They were found at about 12:45 a.m. They saw what happened was the Coast Guard saw a strobe light in the water flashing an SOS signal. And when they saw that signal, they launched a life raft from the back of the plane to the divers, and then the Coast Guard, a C-130 crew, and then the Coast Guard coordinated with the ship to pick them up until a Coast Guard boat could get there. They were rescued about 46 miles southeast of Cape Fear River. And by the time they were rescued, they were brought back at about 6 o'clock in the morning, and they did the medical screenings and they were fine. They went diving. So check this out. They went diving from a recreational boat about 63 miles east of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. So they were searching. There was a Jayhawk helicopter searching. There's a Hercules aircraft searching, and the search. They kept searching all over the place. And then finally that happened, which, wow, that had to be pretty scary and pretty exciting that it actually turned out the way that it turned out, because it could have been a much different story and it wasn't looking good at all. And I think that's how the loved ones on shore felt, like, oh, please don't let this be one of these endings. Please, 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 please. We've been talking about big jackpots a lot. There was no winning ticket Saturday. That means the Powerball jackpot is $236 million. $236 million. I say it all the time, but I cannot imagine just by picking some numbers randomly, you win this incredible amount of money. And I would think that you have to look at the numbers several times because you're in complete shock that that's happened. And that's what drives people to play the lottery, right? Bad news if you have a Toyota Tundra, a Tundra hybrid vehicle, Chrysler Jeep Wagoneer, Grand Wagoneer. Those cars are among the 270,000 that have been recalled recently. The good news is you take it in and then it gets fixed. And the reason that it's been recalled is for an increased risk of fire because of a possible fuel leak. There have been a lot of recalls lately. There was also the potential airbag deployment problem in Chrysler's. So, you know, this Tundra and a Tundra hybrid, they're talking about a fuel leak that could cause a fire. So when you look at the 22s and 23s, you want to get them back in there. When you get a new car and that's relatively new, like, that's the last thing you're thinking of. Please, I don't have to go back, bring anything back, get anything done. I just want to have this car just run like it's supposed to run. So don't we all agree that most of us want that anyway? If you're a car person, it's excellent because then you know things that you can do. You can fix some things on your own. If you're a car person who likes to drive around in the car but doesn't know how to fix it, well, it's a much different scenario. Because you need that person to give you that good, solid advice as to, what do I do? What do I do? I don't understand why I can't get this thing to do X, Y, Z. Right? I think everybody needs that person in their life that can tell them, I think you're not getting ripped off. I think this is where you should go, and I think this can be fixed. This is sad. Clarence Avant, the Black Godfather, they call him, dead at the age of 92, although that's a life well lived. He was the music man. He's been featured in a couple of things that I've seen recently. He died in his L.A. home with his son and his daughter and his son-in-law there. And he leaves behind such a legacy. I mean, he was a pillar in the entertainment world. After moving to L.A. in the 60s, he formed a thing called Sussex Records in 1969. One of his artists, Bill Withers, Ain't No Sunshine, Lean On Me, you know those songs. That was his label. Rest in peace. Coming up, James Gibson, Melissa Mergo, two great authors with great stories to tell.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils. But what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. There are signs prosecutors in Georgia may soon announce whether former President Trump will be indicted for his alleged efforts to overturn Georgia's 2020 election results. The Democratic Fulton County District Attorney has been investigating Trump and his allies for more than 2 years. Trump has denied any wrongdoing. The deadliest wildfire in modern U.S. history has claimed at least 96 lives. David, a resident of Lahaina, got in a vehicle with friends to flee, but the roads were gridlocked.
I ran out of the car and ran for my life. Ran down to the ocean. I was only a quarter mile from the ocean. And they stayed in their car. Like, three of my friends in one car and two dogs died.
Hawaii Governor Josh Green is warning that crews could find 10 to 20 people per day, probably until they finish. Gas prices are on the rise, inching toward the $4 mark across the country. According to AAA, the national average for regular unleaded hit $3.85. John Schaefer, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Rifles, the 1792 Militia Act and the War of 1812. James N. Gibson, the author of this book, joins us now here on Author's Corner on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. James, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So what prompted you to write the book? I know we talked off the air and you did a lot of research, and it's so fascinating as I'm a big fan of history, but what made you decide you were going to tackle this?
Well, basically, I found a interesting passage in the 1792 Militia Act, which, by my training, my background, told me was a caliber clause, which meant that there were requirements in the document for the weapon that the men were supposed to carry. And I had been told quite the opposite about the 1792 Militia Act by quite a few other historians. So I began researching the 1792 Militia Act and the history of it, checking into the use of this caliber clause. And I found it was a very interesting way to track debates on the act and modifications on the act by the references to its caliber clause. It kept coming up in the congressional record.
And what do you think people, and it's significant, but what do you think people should know about that?
Well, a lot of people today, they want to say that the people didn't own guns at the time of the Founding Fathers. Or others who would say that they had no restrictions whatsoever, no requirements on the firearm that they owned. And you get both sides to it. And the reality is that in this one particular case, the 1792 Militia Act, the men had strict requirements on what they were supposed to own, and they had to bring it out twice a year to have it confirmed that the weapon was being well maintained and that it was functional.
Wow. And there's so many ramifications for that, including for 1812, the War of 1812 with this caliber clause, the shortage of rifles, right, in that war.
That is correct. It was a requirement that basically prohibited men to bring their rifled muskets because the caliber of the rifle musket at that time was below the requirements of the 1792 Militia Act. They were supposed to carry a weapon that was equivalent in caliber to the arms of the army at that time. And many of the men resented that.
And
they had their own ideas.
Yeah, and you found out that, obviously, and it seems like what we talk about so often in history and in our lives, but there was so much politics that played into all of this, correct?
Oh, yes. Quite a bit of politics.
Yeah, historians, as you told me, historians versus the Supreme Court even at one point.
Well, again, the Supreme Court ruled in 1918 that the 1792 Militia Act was never enforced for more than a day because of the, quote, evidence brought by a lawyer to the court's attention. Now, it turns out that the evidence was false, but the court ruling is still upheld to this day that the act was never enforced for any given period of time. Now, on the contrary, I not only found that the act was enforced for at least the time up through the War of 1812, but a period of at least a decade or two after the war ended. But the 1792 Militia Act was actually amended at least three times.
Wow.
An act that was never enforced, it certainly was amended a couple of times.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting you talked about, and you talk about this, too, in your book. You talk about all kinds of things like the generals trying to negotiate a ceasefire. You talk about what we don't even realize about Andrew Jackson or General Pike. Tell us about that.
Well, the War of 1812 is where you find people like Jackson or Pike showing up, or people like the governor of Louisiana, William Claiborne. And you find people like Tecumseh, the Indian chief. You find Jacob Brown, who would become the general of the army following the War of 1812. Or Macomb, who would follow Brown as the head of the army after Brown retired from service. A lot of famous people show up in the War of 1812. You end up with James Monroe, who would eventually be a president of the United States himself. It's quite filled with some very interesting people.
And, you know, you talk about what people don't realize, too. We're talking about, when you talk about the War of 1812, you're talking about the first outside of our border.
It truly was.
And what were the difficulties there because of that?
Well, obviously, we had some difficulties. We had some cases where the men didn't want to actually cross the border.
That'd be a problem.
We had other cases where the borders were not too well established. So you're not too sure exactly where you were. The War of 1812 covered quite a lot of American territory and Canadian territory as well.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting you say that, because in your book and you, how you break down the chapters, you talk about Niagara, you talk about Detroit, you talk about the forts, Harrison and Wayne. So very significant, and yet, unless you're in that area, a lot of people don't even realize that.
That's correct.
Because the border is not what we're thinking. So you're right. I mean, it is about the you know, what led up to the war, what led up to the War of 1812, and you tackle that right in the beginning of the book in the first chapter. You call it The Years Before 1812, The Silent War with Europe. What did you find that was incredibly significant about that?
Well, the thing that I found was most interesting is that a lot of people don't know how many different small conflicts or near shooting wars, if you want to put it that way, we had with Spain, England, and France following the American Revolution. We were friends with France and Spain against England during the American Revolution. Once the Revolution was over, they viewed us in a very hostile manner. And we had several near confrontations, ranging from the, what they call the phony war with France under the Adams administration, the Louisiana Purchase, which the Spanish were absolutely fuming about for almost two decades after Napoleon sold us the territory.
Yeah.
We had a lot of, as I said, a lot of near confrontations, a lot of near shooting confrontations. We had a lot of situations where we were sending troops here and there, particularly into Louisiana, and the records aren't exactly too effective as to why we were actually sending them down there. But we were sending a lot of troops.
Yeah. It's so fascinating. I mean, as a fan of history, and for people listening, you would love this book. I feel like we have an incomplete history here, and you filled in a lot of the blanks. You talk about the Battle of Tippecanoe, the first battle of the War of 1812, and what that was like. And as we mentioned, the conquest of Canada, and a lot of people don't understand that at all before, you know, in the very beginning of things, and what was the desire, because all you see is that the United States wanted land. Right? So let's get Canada.
Well, it was funny. Most people don't realize this. In the Articles of Confederation, we had a provision for the incorporation of Canada into the United States when Canada was ready to join us. And that went all the way back to the Revolution. That they believe that eventually Canada would become part of the United States. The War of 1812 brought it to a head and was basically, we're tired of waiting for Canada to join us. We're going to force them to.
Yeah, exactly. Well, everything in between is something that is thoroughly researched, and so congratulations on this book, A War Without Rifles, the 1792 Militia Act and the War of 1812. James N. Gibson, you can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Hey,
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
In our virtual green room, author Melissa Murgo, her book is Overcoming Five Stages of Grief with God, and she joins us here on Author's Corner on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Melissa, boy, that says it all. Overcoming five stages of grief with God. So tell us what catapulted you, motivated you to do this book.
Hi. First, I just want to say thank you for having me. I decided to write this book as a form of therapy for me when I was facing my grandmother's passing during the pandemic. She had Alzheimer's, and it was at the height of the pandemic when we couldn't be with her. So we were watching her pass from outside a window, and it was pretty traumatic. And so going through that grieving process, and then months later, I was faced with the separation and what would be the divorce in my marriage. So I was really in a difficult emotional time and grieving the losses of, you know, really important things in my life. And so I used this as journaling to help process the healing. And then from there, I decided, you know, let's turn this pain into something beautiful. And I, you know, wrote a book.
And you, on the cover, it's like you see, of course, things we talk about, acceptance, denial, anger, all of that. For you, what was the toughest to overcome with the five stages?
The anger, probably, by far. The anger was the hardest stage for me. Because, number one, I don't like being angry. I'm not an angry person. I try to stay positive. And number two, it was really hard to be around people when you're angry and the way they treat you when you're processing this anger and the emotions of it. And it makes them uncomfortable. And so it's hard. You feel the guilt. You feel the shame. You know, you don't want to be that way, but you have these emotions and, you know, people kind of frown upon it and don't warrant, you know, your anger when you're grieving. So that was really the hardest stage for me personally.
Yeah. And you know, dealing with your grandmother's death, dealing with the realization that your marriage was over, and then finding comfort in scripture, what led you there?
It was really just turning to my faith. You know, when you're hitting rock bottom and you're like, you know, you notice yourself just like asking God and just speaking out, you know, God, what should I do? You know, and so I just really turned to scripture for whatever emotion I was in at that day and just be like, you know, let me find scriptures in the Bible that relate to how I'm feeling right now. And it helped me. And so the more I did it, the more I noticed that I was feeling better. It was helping me throughout the day. And then the days that I didn't do it, I noticed a big difference. I was like, wow, why does it feel so heavy? Why is it so hard? And I'm like, oh, you know what? I didn't, you know, turn to the scripture today. So it was just really noticing that the more I let God into every emotion I was having at the time, the better I felt and the faster I felt like I was healing. So that's what this book is pretty much a testament to, trying to, you know, illustrate that for me, bringing God into, you know, every stage really helped me heal and helped me feel better, you know, no matter what emotion I was feeling at the time.
And by putting the book together, was that also cathartic for you to say, oh, I can share this with other people because I know everybody goes through this at some point?
Oh, absolutely. It was, you know, one of those things that, you know, I'm looking at all my journal entries and I'm like, you know what, let's turn this into something so we can, you know, help people. Let them realize that they're not alone, that it's okay, you know, to be angry. You know, David was angry and Moses was angry and it's okay. And they were, you know, figures of faith, and God doesn't frown upon you for having these emotions. You know, he made us as humans to have emotions. And so it's okay to feel the way we feel. So I hope that, you know, if anything, this book can help people, you know, relate their emotions to, you know, figures of faith in the Bible and let them realize that, you know, it's not something to be ashamed of. It's not something that's, you know, going to go away overnight. It's a process. But if you bring God into the grief, it will help you.
Yeah, it's interesting you said shame. Do you think shame's a big part of it and why people don't also reach out for help?
Yeah, you know, depending on, you know, how you're feeling, but definitely with, like, you know, depression being, you know, one of the stages, and sometimes it can be overwhelming and, you know, people feel ashamed that, you know, I shouldn't feel depressed. I should be grateful and I shouldn't have these feelings, or I shouldn't, you know, be in denial. I should be living in reality. And, you know, those things can definitely, you know, make you feel shameful. But if you realize that, you know, there's no shame in any of it, God understands it all. He's not angry with you. He's, you know, not ashamed of you. Bring it to him and you'll realize that, you know, you're not the only one. there are millions of stories out there that, you know, God has brought people through. So if you stay open and you understand that you're not alone, you know, you'll get through.
And for you, too, in the middle of this, by the way, raising three sons, so it was important,
three
right?
Three crazy men, yes, yes. I mean, it was hard. It was, you know, and, you know, just raising kids today, it's hard. It's hard. Life is hard. You know, so it was one of those things that it's like you, as a mom, you know, you can't just be like, I'm having a bad day. I'm just not going to deal. Like, you just can't do that. So you have to get up. And it's one of those things that, you know, I turned to God again, like, God, give me the strength for today. And, you know, he did. And I am just so thankful. And I also have a very good support system with my family that I'm able to rely on them. Some people don't have that. But definitely bringing God into my everyday life and into the emotions, you know, it helps and it will help other people going through the same thing. They're not alone.
And again, the book is Overcoming Five Stages of Grief with God. We're speaking with Melissa Murgo. And in the book, you have eight chapters, you know, where you kind of tackle things and build upon. It's like building blocks where you've got the five stages of overcoming grief. And then the last chapter, tell us about that, because I think that's what's so unique and different what you did there.
The last chapter with the scriptures?
Yeah.
For healing? It was just scriptures that I would print and put all over the house and just, no matter what I was feeling at the time, I would just read out. And so they're just scriptures that really helped me during the healing process. And so there's just a bunch of scriptures that I decided that, you know what, these are the scriptures I turn to. Let me put them in the book because people can just take them and, you know, and read them at the end when they're having a bad day or they're feeling like, you know, at the minute, like, I'm going to lose my mind. I have so much stuff going on. How am I going to do all this? But, you know, just taking 2 seconds, you know, to just read a scripture line here and there, you know, and it will help you. So that's why I decided to put those in.
Yeah, good way to end that. And the book can get on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And you already said this, but what do you hope the takeaway is for anyone who gets your book and reads it?
I hope that it helps them heal. I hope that they understand that, you know, each stage they don't have to be ashamed of, that they need to process it, and that if they bring scripture into their life and realize that, you know what, it's okay to feel this way, I will, you know, use the scriptures to, you know, help me heal. And so I'm hoping that, you know, this book can just help people heal during a difficult time.
Yeah. Melissa, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.